So let's open with a word of prayer, then we're going to jump right in. Our Father, we begin our time this morning by pausing, quieting our hearts. As we approach your word this morning, we ask you to give us a reverence for it. Help us to love your word. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is in each of us because we're your daughters. And you, in through your Holy Spirit, you open our eyes to see things in your word. And so this morning, I pray that you will do that as we study together. I pray that this lesson would be a great encouragement to our hearts. Father, help it to make us so happy that we were here this morning, that we didn't miss this great opportunity to be encouraged and enriched in your word. And this morning, Father, we think of so many in our world who need prayer. Probably number one on the list is ourselves. We need prayer. But Father, we want to pray for those we know especially this morning that are needing healing and needing your encouragement. We want to lift up Wayne and Carolyn Wilson this morning. Ask you to just minister to them, encourage them. We pray that you would meet their every need in the way of Wayne's health, and I just ask you to bless them. And Father, just teach us now as we go to your word this morning, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm so happy you're here. And so we have been studying the last several weeks, just kind of taking a topical study on prayer. Aaron?
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No. We will. Let's just stop and do it right now.
That's okay.
Our Father, we do lift up as well together this morning, the Thompson family, as they grieve over the loss of their dad or their brother or their church member. I just ask you to bless them, to encourage them, and to help them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Aaron. And so we started out in our study by looking at two parables in the Bible about prayer. And the first place we went was Luke 11. And that parable was a parable where a man has someone come unexpectedly at midnight at his house. And he doesn't have any food to give him. And so he goes at that inopportune time to his friend's house, who is his neighbor. And he wakes him up, and he just says, please give me bread. I've got this friend here. It's just sort of like a very simple little story. And we talked about, would you really go to your neighbor's house at midnight for something as simple as three pieces of bread? But for this man, giving nourishment to his unexpected person that came was so important. Yes, it was not very significant. And the point of the parable is to teach us to go to God with everything. You can go to God with the most minute things. And then as soon as he gets through with the story, he gives this command. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask and you will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. And I love that scripture because sometimes we feel like, oh, I'm so insignificant. Surely I shouldn't go to God with that. I mean, when you think about the world and its needs, and that's something I'm wrestling with here that seems like something very tiny in comparison to everything and the whole scheme of things. But Jesus is saying, yes, persevere in your praying. Be persistent in your praying. Come again and come again and bang on the door of heaven. And I love that parable. Then last week we looked at a parable out of Luke 18. That was a parable where Jesus was with his followers, including his disciples. He was telling them about his second coming. They didn't understand all the details of his second coming, but what he was saying to them is, you keep praying until I come again. Pray for my return. And that was a parable. Help me remember. I'm gone blank. What was the little story of the parable? Who can remember? Maybe I wrote it now. Hold on. Help me here. Somebody go to Luke 18. Yes. I think it was, that's exactly right. The widow, remember? Someone had taken advantage of her. Widows were very vulnerable in that day. And she went to the unrighteous judge. And she kept coming and she kept coming. And he did not want to do anything for her. But because of her persistence, he made it right. And that is just another thing. And then the whole point of that was to continue praying until he returns. He ends that parable by saying, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when he comes? We're to be looking for, anticipating his return. Now this morning, I want just to, in a general way, encourage our hearts in this matter of prayer. And when we just think about prayer, it is such, think about it with me. It really is such an amazing privilege for us to be given access to come to God as our Father. I think it's actually also one of our offensive spiritual weapons. And let me show you why I say that. Go with me in your Bible to Ephesians 6. And I want you to look at verse 10 on your handout. And Paul is speaking here, and he's coming to the end of this little letter. And there's one more thing he wants to tell them. And he says, now finally, at the end of this letter, I want to tell you to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Well, that's such a good thing for us to hear this morning. Because, you know I want to be strong in the Lord, don't you? You're going to do it by being strong in his strength. His mighty strength. Go to the next verse. How am I going to do it? Well, you're going to have to clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ is one way to say it. And the way Paul says it here is to put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And so he says, now here's how you're going to stand. You're going to gird your loins with truth. You're going to cover your breastplate. You're going to put on that breastplate of righteousness. You're going to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. You're going to take up the shield of faith. You're going to put on the helmet of salvation. And then all of those things are things you put on. But then there's something that you take up. Look at the next thing. And this is your offensive weapon. And he says in verse 17, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then verse 18, I think this is our second offensive weapon against the enemy to help us to stand. And it's with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. You have two weapons, actually. You have the Word of God, and you have prayer. Teresa, how am I going to stand in this evil day? How am I going to be victorious? Very clearly, the Word of God and prayer are your absolute key to victory. That's how you're going to win the battle in your Christian life. And so, you know, at some point after we're born, we start the Christian life. We begin. We're born again. It happened to me when I was 20. I, before that time, was on the wrong road in life. I was on the road headed to destruction. I was going the wrong way. Guess you could say I was lost. I really was lost. And I was trying to find my way. And then one night, after hearing the gospel, I heard God whisper my name and call me to himself to come and follow him. And I answered that call by saying yes, and I was saved that night. At that time, I can just tell you, I got saved, and then there I was. I didn't know anything about God's Word. I couldn't name you the books of the Bible. I had a Bible, but I never had really gotten into my Bible. I knew the stories of the Bible that I had heard through my childhood. The Christmas story, the Easter story, some parables possibly of Jesus. But I really didn't know the Bible, and I certainly did not know anything about prayer. I didn't know how to pray. Now, I did know the Lord's Prayer, but, you know, I didn't really know how to pray. If somebody had asked me to pray, I would have probably passed out. And so I certainly didn't know how to get up in front of somebody and pray. That would have been very stressful. And I think the beautiful thing about salvation is this. He just takes you right where you are. And that's what he did with me. He just said, Teresa, come, follow me, be born again, and I will enter you through my Holy Spirit. I will put my Holy Spirit in you, and my Holy Spirit will do the work. And that's exactly what happened with me. I love the verse that I put on your handout, Philippians 1:6. And Paul says this, I am confident. This is something I know for certain. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And so you have a starting point in your Christian life. And the Holy Spirit enters when you're saved. And he starts putting your life in order. And new things start to come in your life. And one of the neat things about it is you find that your wanter changes. Your wanter. Before you were born again, you wanted different things. And then the salvation happens. It happens at one point in time, and then you begin to walk differently. And the Holy Spirit in you changes your wanter. You know what happened to me? I started wanting to know God's Word. And as I got in God's Word, I couldn't get enough of it. I was like just so hungry for it. And as I was growing and learning, and you know, I felt like I was a religious fanatic kind of sort of. Somebody asked me that one time, are you a religious fanatic? I said, I guess so. And then I started learning to pray, because here's what we're going to see this morning. Prayer and God's Word, they link, they go together. As you start studying God's Word, as you start learning who God is, as you start building a foundation of His Word in your life, you start reaching out to Him in prayer. That's how it works. So the Bible and prayer are connected. Let's ask some questions this morning as we're thinking about prayer. I just want to ask you this question. How is your prayer life? Now, think about your own personal prayer life. Are you satisfied with it? I think all of us would have to say no, we want more in our prayer life. Would you like for your prayer life to grow? Do you really believe your prayer life matters? Here's a fact. If you want to grow to be like Jesus, you will pray. Because you know what Jesus did? He prayed. We see that all throughout the Gospels. He prayed. It is God's will for us to pray. Think with me in Matthew 6, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And this is what he said in verse 5. When you pray, do it this way. In verse 6, he says, but when you pray. Verse 7, but when you pray. Verse 9, pray like this. And then think about our two parables we've looked at. In Luke 11, Jesus said, you need to ask, you need to seek, you need to knock. And in Luke 18, he told them that parable to the effect that they ought always to pray. Now, those are the words of Jesus. But I want to show you some commands that come in Scripture. And I put them on your handout. There are three of them that I... There are many more, but I'm going to just put three there this morning for us to consider. Out of Colossians 4:2, Paul says this to the church. Now, I want you to continue steadfastly in prayer. Romans 12, I want you, Paul says, to be devoted to prayer. I love that word, devoted. This is something you need to devote yourself to. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, and I want you to do it without ceasing. I want you to pray without ceasing. Now, those are commands in Scripture that come to believers. But I don't want you to see prayer this morning as a burdensome command. Okay, you got to somehow get yourself together. Follow this command. Dag Burnett. Is that a word? Yes. It's a command. But here's what I want you to feel this morning. I want you to feel it not so much as a command. I want you to feel about it as if it is a great privilege and a great honor because you are a daughter of God. When you say command, that sounds daunting and heavy and burdensome. So instead of us thinking this morning about a commandment to never stop praying, no, let's think of it as a royal invitation from the King of Kings to commune with Him. I like that thought better. So look at your handout at Hebrews 4:16. Now, this is a verse that I would suggest you memorize. And I would also say, just put it on your mirror in the bathroom. Put it at your kitchen sink. Put it in your car. Meditate on this verse because listen to what it says. Therefore, let us draw near. How? With confidence. To the throne of grace. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Sisters, we're living in a time of need right now. Personally, nationally, in every area. And prayer is an opportunity. Prayer is an invitation for us to receive the mercy and the grace of God that we so desperately need as we're navigating through our lives. So let me say it this way, and let's write it down, some points about prayer. Prayer, it's more than an activity. It's more than a duty. Let's write it this way. It is a relationship. It's you running to your Heavenly Father with all of your heart. So let's ask this question. Teresa, what does it mean for me to pray without ceasing? What would it look like for me to be a woman devoted to prayer? For me to be a woman that's continually steadfast? Now, we know it means, doesn't mean, that I'm to lock myself up in my prayer closet all day long. Like I'm a monk in a monastery or something like that. Because you know... That's not practical. We can't live our lives huddled away, can we? No. That's certainly not what Paul is saying here. But a good way to think about prayer without ceasing. Have you ever been on a long call and you're put on hold? Yeah. So you know what? I get up in the morning and I'm making a call in prayer. And I'm opening up the conversation. And guess what? I get up, I go about my day, but he's still on the line all day long. And all day long, I'm coming back and forth in contact. And it's a connection that begins when I first wake up. And it goes through the whole day to the end of the day. He's always on the line and available. It means you're always practicing his presence all through your day. You're training yourself. You're disciplining yourself. You're living your life aware of him at all times. You're living your life as if he's the one sitting in the bleachers. He's your audience. You're living your life unto him. One thing I love about Bill is that, you know, as he's out and about during the day, if he's in Jackson, he has a meeting. Whenever he gets done, he gets in his car, he always calls me. And so, you know, I'm always looking up. There's Bill. He's moving from place to place. And he'll just say, you know, how's your day going? I'll say, how was your meeting? If he's in Jackson, I'll say, did you see the grandchildren? Because he usually does. But he has that habit of just checking in with me all during the day. And I love hearing from him. You know, how was your meeting? Who did you see? Would you run an errand for me? That's always good. Prayer is a lot like that. It's an intimate love relationship. Checking in all the time with your Heavenly Father. He's never far from your mind. You're thinking about him. You're sharing your thoughts, your needs. You're happy about him. And you're telling him so. Lord, you're so good to me. You provide for me. You care for me. Your presence is in my life. I look forward to that conversation with him. This kind of connection with God is especially helpful when that trial hits you out of Westfield, where'd that come from? Or when the battle gets heated up in your life. That's when prayer becomes like a walkie-talkie for warfare. And there you are. You're behind the enemy lines and you've got your walkie-talkie. And you're talking to the general. You're getting your orders. You're getting your instructions. He's getting resources to you in the battle. You're never alone in the battle. You're always connected to him. Let's write another thing about prayer. Prayer is also a gospel expectation. Now, Teresa, what do you mean by that? Prayer is a gospel expectation. Well, the way I could describe it is, you know, with my children. I expect my children to communicate with me. I do. And we talk all the time. That's an expectation I have. You're my child. We want to know about you. We want to have interchange with you. And so they're calling me, I'm calling them, we're constantly in, what time is the game, where's this, what's going on this weekend, oh, I sold my house. It's always, we're talking back and forth. My son Ben just sold his house. Even babies communicate. They can't talk yet, but oh, Lisa can tell you, they cry, don't they, Lisa? And you have to hold them, right? And she's got a new grandbaby, she's over the moon. And so, you know, you that baby can cry, and then their faces, they can just do the craziest thing with their faces. And even babies communicate. And so as children of God, we don't dare live independent of him. He's our Father. I have that heart of a child. I want to communicate. Look at Romans 8:15. It tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us. Look at it in verse 8:15. You have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba, it means daddy. And then look at Galatians 4:6. Because you are sons and daughters of God, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying the same thing. Daddy, Father. Here's another thought on the subject of prayer. Prayer is expected of us because we need it, and we will not be like Jesus without it. Now, for one example to support this truth, look at Luke 5, I think it's 16 on your handout. It says, "But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray." Now, reason with me. If the Son of God, as he walked on the earth, needed to pray to commune with his Father, how much more do you think we need to pray? Well, Teresa, I totally agree with everything you're saying this morning. But why don't we do it more? Why don't we do it more? Well, let's write some reasons down. Number one, sometimes it's just plain old lack of discipline. Yep. Just plain old lack of discipline. Somehow we get so busy, we don't plan to pray. My mother was a very organized woman, and she had this little saying, you know, plan your work, work your plan. You could do that with prayer. Plan to pray, work your plan. It's so easy to crowd prayer out. And don't underestimate your enemy. He will keep you so busy doing good stuff, and you never have time to pray. Word and prayer, those two things, you cannot do without them if you're going to stand. Life happens. We are busy, busy women. And I'll just tell you, even as you get older, you think it's going to slow down. It does not. If anything, I feel like it's gotten more busier. Is that right? No. Anyway, you know what I mean. And so we all too often find out in our lives that we just don't give time to prayer. And we say to people all the time, "Oh, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you." But do you really? Do you really? Do you write their name down? Do you make a note of it when they say, "Please pray for me"? And you pray for them. Do you really get along with God and lift up their name and lift them up in their trial? It's so easily crowded out because things seem to be so urgent around us. Here's another reason why we may not pray. Maybe we don't pray more because we lack confidence in our own ability to pray. Maybe you just feel like, "My prayers aren't going to make a difference." You just lack the confidence that you're praying the right way. Oh, yeah, you believe God answers other people's prayers. But when it comes to you, you have doubts about your own prayer life, and that will just suck the life out of your praying. Because prayer is a spiritual thing. It's somewhat mysterious. On the one hand, we know that the Bible tells us to pray and that God answers prayer. And on the other hand, we sometimes wonder, well, do my prayers really matter? Here's something else for us to consider as we're thinking in this vein. Many prayers are answered in ways different from what we ask for. And we don't see it exactly like we think it should be. We miss that God is answering our prayers. Let's write down a third thing. Maybe we don't personally sense the nearness of God in our own life. And this may cause me to feel discouraged in prayer. And this is the way it is in our spiritual lives as we walk with an invisible God that we cannot see. There are times when we feel very close to God, and other times we can't sense the presence of God at all in our lives, even though we know with our mind that he's there. And so we take the truth of the scripture, and we've got to pray with truth rather than with feelings, right? All right, number four, the frailty of our emotions many times destroy our desire to pray. I think this is especially true for women because we're so emotional. We tend to find many other things to do instead of persevering in persistent prayer. And then these trials come just out of the blue that will cause us to fall on our knees and pray. But then there are periods of time in our lives that, you know what, life's manageable. We don't really need anything. We're doing pretty good on our own. But we forget the words of John 15, verse 5. Look at it on your handout. Apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing, nothing. Let's write one more thing down. Pride and self-sufficiency hurt our prayer life. And it just could cause us to live for days and weeks and months as if, you know, we're fine. I'll just save my prayer for a needy day, for a rainy day. When something comes along that's too big that I can't handle. We need to see the danger and the foolishness of this sort of an attitude. I was thinking about this and how the word and prayer fit together. And one thing is we've got to learn as women to think biblically, to think rightly. And so when I think on God and I'm in the Word of God and I think and consider who He is, I'm just telling y'all, He's huge. When I consider His person, His power, His glory, His magnificence, His great kingdom, and then I think personally about His amazing gospel, how He saved us, miraculously rescued us from death, doing for us what we could have never done for ourselves. He called us by His grace. He had mercy on us. When we let these things just really occupy our thinking, it fuels our prayer lives to be hot prayer lives. Consider this. He spoke the galaxies into being. Nothing is too hard for Him. And so I want to have this fresh awareness of Him. I want to think about the shame He endured willingly on the cross to give me access to God in prayer. Prayer is really something that is not hard. It just flows naturally out of that kind of an attitude of praise and adoration and trust. But if I don't ever let that kind of thinking cross my soul, prayer will lose its fervor in my life. So we're going to train our minds to think biblically. And then prayer will be the natural response. Now here's another reason people don't pray. Let's write it down. And it's this. They've never really learned to pray. Did you realize that Jesus taught His disciples how to pray? There are skills that you can learn to be an effective prayer. I'm always reading books on prayer because I want to learn more. I want to learn how to be a better prayer warrior. And so I want to get in God's Word and I want to learn things that help me in prayer. Think of a baby. At first, that baby has very minimal communication, but soon he's growing, he's saying baby words, and he's moving and learning to communicate. That's how we are. So we write this down, learn to pray by actually just praying, just doing it. How many of you can speak a foreign language? You know how you learn it? You learn it by speaking it. And a lot of times, many colleges will require their students who are majoring in a foreign language spend a semester somewhere where that language is being spoken all the time and where you're just thrown into that culture and you're just doing it, you're practicing it. And that's how you learn to pray, by doing it. Number two, you have to recognize that the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He's going to guide you into all truth. That's what John 16:13 says. Let Him guide you. One thing I can share this morning with you, just standing here teaching you as an older woman, looking back on my life, I can tell you for certain that prayer is the most powerful thing you can do for your children. for those in your world. Would you older women agree with me? Prayer is powerful. You pray into your world, and that's a very powerful thing. I want to be faithful to pray, not only for my children, but I want to pray for you. I think that's powerful as your Sunday school teacher. I want to pray for the leadership of our church. I want to pray for our leaders in our country. I think our prayers really make a difference. Now, there's one more thing I want to mention this morning, and that's this one idea that I want you to write down, and then we'll be done. Meditation in God's Word is the link between taking in God's Word and prayer. I want to talk about meditation with you. A lot of times we get up, we get our Bibles out, we read our Bibles. Okay, done that, read my Bible. Okay, now it's time to pray. And I pray, and it's like they're two separate things. What I want to suggest to you is what you need to insert in the middle is meditation on God's Word. I want you to write down this. Meditation is when you linger in God's Word, kind of like a tea bag. You're going to steep your tea, and you put that bag in the hot water, and the longer it sits, the stronger the tea becomes. That's what meditation is. It happens as you stop and you let what you're reading in God's Word sink in. You ponder it with your heart. And when you do that, it stays with you. And so as you come to God's Word, it's not so much you have to complete so many chapters or whatever. Take time to sit and linger and let that lead you to prayer. That's what meditation is. It helps you to just to soak it in. It speaks to you. So to help you meditate on God's Word, I have a thought that I want to plant in your mind. I want you to interview the text. What do you mean, Teresa? Well, I want you to slow down, and I want you to patiently ask questions of what you're reading in Scripture until the application becomes clear to you. You say, okay, what is this telling me? Does this show me something I should believe about God? Does it reveal something I should thank God for? I should trust God in? Does it show me something I need to pray about for myself or for others? Does it show me something I should make a decision about? Does it show me something I should do? I'm taking time and I'm interviewing that text. And that's what I mean. I've been doing that simple process for 2 years now. And I can't remember what year we did spiritual disciplines of the Christian life in here. But when we got to the chapter on prayer, we took a time out and I taught you this little book, Praying the Bible. That little book, more than any other, transformed my personal prayer life. It taught me how to get in the Word and pray, but the connection is the meditation of God's Word. And so next week, I'm going to have this little book for you. And I gave them out before, but if you didn't get one, I'll have one. Because a lot of times you're not here on Sunday when I do things. And so I'm going to go into, this week was sort of an introduction to a specific way to pray that I'm going to share with you next week. And it's just, I think, in my own personal life, it's been a real deal breaker in my prayer life. It's been a tool that really, really helped me. What now? It's Don Whitney. He wrote Spiritual Disciplines of the Christian Life that we studied in here. Yeah, we did. I gave it out one time. I don't think I only ordered 30 or something. So if you weren't here that day, you didn't get it. But I have ordered more. They'll be here next week, hopefully. And so I want you to be here next week for that study. And I hope this lesson has encouraged you. I hope it's challenged you. What if this group of women in this room really got serious about prayer? Do you think some wonderful things would happen? I'm just telling you, prayer is powerful. It's very, very powerful. Your prayers matter. And I hope you'll be here next week. So let's pray together, and then we'll close, and I'll see you next week. Our Father, thank you for just the very gift that you've given us as Christians to come boldly, to come confidently into your very throne room. It's just an amazing thought. Father, why don't we do it more? We know we have an enemy who keeps us so busy. He wants to keep us out of the Word. He wants us to keep us from getting on our knees in prayer. So, Father, help us to stand up and stand firm. Put on the whole armor of God, taking up your sword that you've given us and praying at all times. And, Father, I pray that you will bring us back together next week, and we just ask you to stir up our hearts to be women of prayer, and we bless your name. In your name we pray. Amen. And I'll see you next week.